Sebastian, I know you spent some time in the book playing off of the word idol and in both spellings and situations. We'll talk about that and set up the discussion on how we get off the weeds one way or the other.
Yeah, so what we do in the book is talk about two challenges that people seem to have in the workplace. And again, a lot of this is written by my own struggles in the workplace to do both of these. So if you're listening here, I'm no different than you. I'm not casting stones at you. I'm actually, trying to help us all diagnose our hearts and see how we do this. So on the one side, we're tempted to make an idol of work, and that's IDOL, right? And that's very easy to do. When our jobs become maybe our primary source of satisfaction or purpose and meaning, it shows up not just in, working too many hours, but really in a heart that finds a lot of its sense of well-being in what we do. That's how you can see that you're being tempted to make your work an idol, when your heart is sort of going up and down depending on how your performance at the job is going or getting that promotion or not. That's how you can kind of sense that might be happening. On the other extreme, we are tempted to be idle at work, and that's IDLE. And that's kind of operating as if God doesn't care about our jobs. It's at its most extreme, it might mean not really working, but the way we think about it more in the book is just an idleness of heart. It's a heart that basically says, I don't know why I'm in this job. I don't understand God's purposes. And so therefore, I'm gonna not necessarily work with my all. I'm not gonna work with a heart that sees that God actually has me do this. And so those are the two kind of challenges we want people to think through. How are you tempted to make your work an idol, to elevate it to a higher level than Christ in your life? Or how are you tempted to be idle at work? How are you tempted to underthink about your job, to kind of think God doesn't really care about what you're doing or how you're doing it? Those are the two things we want people to really think about.
Well, so let's go back, as you talked about, your work is your source of your satisfaction. I mean, shouldn't we seek satisfaction in work, and shouldn't we seek to be the best?
I would say it's perfectly fine to seek satisfaction in work, and it's perfectly fine to seek to be the best. I would want to sort of help people think, though, on the one level, it's a matter of perspective and it's a matter of expectation. So from a perspective, we need to understand that nothing, if we're Christians, nothing can compete with our allegiance to Christ, right? Nothing, not our jobs, not our families, nothing. And so our jobs can tend to, again, be above God in our hearts. We think about it more, we stress about it more. That's what we're concerned about. And so while, yes, I would say absolutely, seek joy, try to be the best, but have the perspective that it's never going to be higher than your allegiance to Christ. And then the other thing I would say is about expectations. So that's perspective. From an expectations perspective, we should not be fooled into thinking that our work is ever going to reach some place of sort of final satisfaction in our lives, right? We are in a fallen world. There's only so much good that we can bring about in a fallen world, and there's only so much satisfaction that we can ever have in a fallen world. And so as long as that's our perspective, we should look at our jobs as, when we do have good days, be thankful to God that he gave us a good day, and not be pursuing them as though somehow the better we do, the higher we get promoted, the more attention we get, the more change we bring about in the world. None of that is finally going to bring about greater joy in our lives or make this world a permanently better place.
Although it seems like over the last, generation or so, there's been a lot more emphasis on, find work that makes a difference, right? And even there are a lot of ministries that kind of help us focus on that. Do something that's meaningful.
Yeah, and I would say again, all things being equal, if there's work that you can do that you think makes a bigger difference in the world than other work, then by all means, go ahead and do it. But a couple of caveats there. On the one hand, I think we are limited in our abilities to understand what work actually makes a bigger difference than other work, right? So I always like to use the example of did Bill Gates or Mother Teresa, which one of them has made a quote bigger difference in the world? It's very hard to really trace that out. So again, on the one hand, feel free to do work that is quote more meaning, makes a bigger difference than other work. But I would just encourage you, by God's grace, there are so many different assignments that he gives us, so many different jobs, all of which are kind of part of his tapestry in bringing about human flourishing and serving other people's needs. So don't overstress how your job is exactly making a difference versus another job. Again, this is where this phrase we have, who you work for is more important than what you do, is so necessary. Trust the Lord in the assignment that he's given you and do that work unto him. And that's where you'll make the biggest difference and see the greatest joy, because you're doing work that's unto the Lord.
And I suppose the opposite is an issue as well, isn't it? I mean, maybe in that sort of idea of idleness. Say, well, what difference does my job really make? I'm a cog in a big wheel or something, or you know, that we don't have the right perspective about the little things that we want to do, you know, everything unto the Lord, the glory of the God.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on that one, we're tempted. I mean, I've certainly had jobs in my past where I feel either underappreciated or it's not taking advantage of my skills, or I'm just not passionate about it. I think all those things are true. Honestly, they can be true of us on a daily basis. Even if we're in jobs that we enjoy, those things can still be true. And again, this is where finally we do not want to anchor our self-worth. We don't want to anchor our joy in our jobs. We don't want to anchor those things in the mechanics of our work and in the day-to-day sort of happiness factor. We want to finally anchor them in, if God has called me to an assignment, to a job, I want to do it for God's glory with my all, faithfully, as serving him, and trust that wherever he has me, that is where he wants me to be faithful and fruitful for him. And so that is the fuel that we need, especially when we're tempted to kind of feel more frustrated or more discouraged in the work that we're doing.
I mean, frustration at work, though, that's one of the, we hear about that all the time, right? Perhaps, half to three quarters of the people that are coming in every day are frustrated or would rather be doing something else. I mean, those are pretty high numbers.
Yeah, and this is where I think the Christian has something that the non-Christian does not, right? If you are living for this world, if you are a non-Christian who does not have a relationship with the Lord, has not been redeemed by Christ, has not been given a new heart and a new life, well, then you are living for this world. And think about that. That means that you are living for a fallen world. You're living for a world that is literally been cursed by God, and so it is designed to actually frustrate you. Why? Because it's part of the curse. But in God's grace, part of the curse is actually pointing you to the fact that this is not all there is. So part of the reason you feel frustrated is because God's cursed your work, and God wants you to see that it's frustrating living apart from him. And if you're a Christian, though, you can suddenly live in a fallen world, live in a world that's frustrating, and just remind yourself, oh yeah, of course, this is why God in Christ came to redeem us. He came to redeem us from this cursed world so that we can have a personal relationship with him. Yes, my job is frustrating, but I know that this is not all there is. I'm not living for this frustrating world. I have another home that I'm living for. And so suddenly the Christian comes at this frustrating world and this frustrating job with an entirely different perspective than the non-Christian. And that makes an enormous difference in the way that we go about our work.
Which is different than just work is just a means to an end. So I earn money so I can give to ministries or something like that. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the purposes God has for us in our work are varied. You know, there's not just one reason God tells us we work in the Bible. There's actually a number of reasons, right? We work to bring God glory. We work to serve other people. Ways that we serve other people are we earn money. That's a very valid biblical reason for our work, so that we can earn money, so that we're not a burden for others. We work so that we can, you know, serve other humans and other people in the work that we do. There's good reasons that God gives us to work that are all biblical, and they're not simply so that we can give money to church or so that we can do evangelism. There's other good purposes God has for us in our work.